Church Sunday, and you are all welcome back to church to join us here. We will be celebrating that the church can be together. We started coming together this summer with various requirements, and slowly some of those things have been lifted. As we've seen in the news, in our local community, there have been several increases in COVID virus, so we need to continue to be safe. We need to continue to do things in an orderly way, but God calls us to come together as believers, as brothers and sisters. We're called to not only worship Him, to sing praises to Him, but to be together, and that's where our strength is, not when we are all separated. So I'm thankful for those of you that are here this morning with us, for those of you that are still watching online. We love you, and we are praying for you, and we hope that you are able to return with us soon as well. Over the past few weeks, as we've been looking at God's promises, we've talked about different types of promises: saving promises, guiding promises, warning promises, and last week, motivating promises. The thing that all of these promises have in common is that we can find real hope in the sure sovereignty of God. His sovereignty means He's in control of everything that happens. He knows what's happening in your life. He knows what's happening around the world. And we can count on God no matter what is happening to us or around us. A key idea that is following us through this series is that God's promises usually say more about who He is and what He is doing rather than about a certain situation or an outcome that we may desire. Even with a book like this, Promises of God, often we are troubled by something and we think, is there a promise in Scripture that would be encouraging to me? And we're looking for something that kind of fits our situation. What does God say about finances? What does God say about our relationships? What does God say about honoring Him? We could go to Scripture and we can find those things. But His promises are about His character, about what He is, who He is, what He's doing. And a lot of times, as we read His Word, we're seeing that we just need to be closer to Him. We need to stay connected to Him. And as we grow deeper in relationship with God, that's where we find real direction. That's where we find peace. So this morning, a new category of promises are comforting promises. As Joey Tribbiani from Friends would say, how you doing? Let me try that one more time. How you doing? You can say that on the way home and make sure you get the right inflection on you. How you doing? Is everything going perfectly according to your plans? How does 2020 look compared to your January 1st resolutions, the things that you wanted to do and accomplish? Who could use comfort today? Any of us? As we look at God's Word, we're going to look specifically at six passages. We're going to see God's promise of comfort when we're afraid, when we're burdened, when things are weighing us down, when we're afflicted, when we're in mourning, when we feel like we're being persecuted, and even when life is just too hard. Did you know we're allowed to admit that? That things are beyond our understanding, that they're beyond our control, beyond our ability to handle? As Americans, we want to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps and say, I can handle anything, right? We want to grin and bear it. We want to just make it through. And sometimes as Christians, we're even more guilty of this, saying, I'm just going to ignore everything and just keep going. But as we saw a couple of weeks ago, as we talked about lament when Michael Davis was with us, we thought about what does it look like to really cry out to God? What does it look like to mourn our losses? God calls us to do that. Our biblical, the godly response is to come to Him with our problems, not to hide them under a bushel, not to ignore them, not to pretend that they're not there, not to just put on a smile, and say everything's fine, but to tell God what hurts, why it hurts. He always loves us, and He always comforts us. And so that's my challenge, that's my encouragement to you today, is to tell God what's going on, and He will bring you comfort. If you like taking notes, there is a sheet of paper in your bulletin, and that has a bunch of blanks in it. There are 6 comforting passages that we're going to quickly go through this morning. If we took all of the things that we could possibly do on a Sunday and do them in one day, that's what today is. So you're here on an exciting day. We're doing so many things. We're celebrating a lot of great things. We're going to look at 6 passages in the Psalms and several in the Gospels and 1 in Corinthians that bring us comfort. If you want to follow along, you can follow on screen, or there is a Bible in front of you that you can do that as well. Our first one is from probably the most favorite psalm of all people, of all time. I know we say John 3:16 is the most cherished verse in the Bible, and we say that that's probably our favorite. But if we think about people around the world, this psalm has brought comfort and encouragement to people, whether or not they're followers of Jesus Christ. God's word is powerful, and it is effective, and it changes hearts, it changes souls, it changes minds. So as people read these words, even if they're not believers in Jesus Christ, they can find comfort in these words, knowing that there is a God like this, that there is a God who cares about them. Jesus described himself as the good shepherd. And it's because it's such a good psalm, I'm going to read the first couple of verses. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. God's promises are certain and sure. And something that we see in this verse in particular is someone walking through the valley of death. Something that is sure and certain is that unless Jesus returns in our lifetime, every one of us will experience death. And that shadow is over all of us. We think about our mortality. We think about what's going to happen after I die. We will walk through that valley. But followers of Jesus Christ, who see him as their good shepherd, should not fear dying, because of his sacrificial death on the cross. What we celebrated in communion brings us to a place where we're not afraid of the next life, because we are promised eternal life. When Jesus described himself as the good shepherd, he says, I know my sheep. He knows you. They follow me. He protects us with his rod, and he guides us with his staff. This is for followers of Jesus Christ. So while this verse brings comfort to people as they read it and think about God as a good shepherd, we have to be his sheep. We have to be part of his pasture, part of his fold, and we need to follow him. And when we do, we find comfort, knowing that he's with us through the darkest nights and through the most difficult days. If you haven't read this psalm lately, I would encourage you to just go back and read the rest of this psalm this afternoon. Jesus leads us to living water, and he has a home prepared for us. That should bring you comfort no matter what's going on right now. Our next verse is in Psalm 55 and verse 22. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. As I said before, God is calling us to bring him all of our burdens, the problems that keep you up at night, the situations where you feel there's no hope, you don't have a solution, you don't know how this is going to end. Notice, this verse and the rest of Scripture doesn't say God's going to take away all of your problems. It doesn't say He's going to make your life easy and carefree. But it does say He will sustain you. He won't allow the righteous to be moved. And if you're sitting there, as I'm standing here, you might think, I'm not righteous. How can I be described as holy and perfect like God? The only way we can is by trusting Jesus Christ as our Savior. Because Scripture tells us that when we have Jesus Christ in our life, when we have the Holy Spirit indwelling us, Jesus' own righteousness is placed on us like a robe. That our sins are erased. God forgives them, and He sees us pure and holy and ready for a relationship with Him. Yes, we still struggle. Yes, we still sin through this lifetime, but Jesus Christ's death has washed all of that away. He's covered us with His own righteousness. And He won't allow us to be moved. Those that follow Him have a sure foundation. We're not going to be carried away by the storms of life. We think about the wise man who built his house on the rock. And as we look out on Lake Erie and we see what just one of the lakes can do, think about the foundation that was moved. The foundation that was thought to be secure was just pushed right out into the road, that top layer of block, because it wasn't secure. Jesus Christ is our sure foundation. He's the rock on which we can build our lives. We can trust Him, and we won't be destroyed when life's storms come along. The message that a number of churches are preaching is that when you follow Jesus, there will be no storms, there will be no problems. Everything is going to be fine as long as you trust enough. But I don't see that in Scripture. I see God encouraging us over and over again that you will face trials, you will face persecution, you will suffer. But God goes through all of those things with you, and He is our comfort. The next one in Psalm 119, which is the longest chapter in the Bible, it talks about God's word and how amazing it is. Psalm 119, verses 75 to 77. I know, O Lord, that your rules are righteous, and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. Let your steadfast love comfort me, according to your promise to your servant. Let your mercy come to me that I may live, for your law is my delight. It's comforting when we recognize that God's righteous rules, His word, is made for our protection, for our good. I know that when I was younger, even as a follower of Jesus, even as I went to church, I looked at the Bible as the list of do's and don'ts. And we learn the Ten Commandments very early, and we think, I just have to follow the rules and everything's going to be okay. God's going to be happy with me if I do everything right. God's word is encouragement for us. It is rules. It includes rules to say, this is how you stay out of trouble. This is how you honor me, how you bring glory to me by living a life that is righteous and acceptable. But he also tells us that none of us can do that perfectly. Not one of us has the ability to live the Ten Commandments and the rest of God's law perfectly. But we know that God goes with us. We know that His word is there to encourage us. We see His sovereignty, the fact that He is in control of everything because He created it all. And He knows that when I'm struggling, it's for my spiritual growth. This verse reminds me of one that Mark Brown and I were just talking about by text this weekend. It says, God afflicted me. And sometimes we think, well, God doesn't do anything wrong. He doesn't do anything bad to us. That's true. But does affliction sound like a good thing? Do you pray and say, God, please afflict me? That's kind of an old word, but for those of you that are younger, affliction is something that is hurting you, something that's bringing you harm.
Why would God do that? It's so that we would turn to Him and say, I need you, God. I can't do this on my own. I need to grow more like Jesus Christ. Grow spiritually. God's steadfast, His faithful love. In this verse, if we looked it up in Hebrew, it's described as good and kind. God is good and kind. So when we see that, let your steadfast love, let your goodness and your kindness comfort me according to your promise. Let your mercy come to me that I may live, for your law is my delight. God shows me undeserved grace. He brings good things into my life that I've done nothing to deserve. But the punishment that I do deserve, He also withholds, and that's His mercy. I can find delight. I can find joy in God's word when I'm seeking to follow Him. When I'm reading it and saying, God, draw me closer to you. Well, now we move over into the Gospels, Matthew chapter 5, verses 4 and 12. Look at the top of this chapter. If your Bible has headings, what does that say? Beginning of chapter 5. Anybody that has their Bible open? What's it say? The Beatitudes. What else does it say? Anybody else? Louder? Sermon on the Mount. Those words are in italics in my Bible. They didn't appear in the original gospel as Matthew wrote it, but it's a way to help us see what's happening in the chapter. The Sermon on the Mount is a time when Jesus preached to a large group of people. And in this particular case, we've called them the Beatitudes or the blessings. Jesus is describing what a blessed, what a happy person looks like. So as we read this verse, blessed, happy, are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. And then later in that chapter, rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Happy are those who mourn. Do you like to mourn? Would you choose sorrow and mourning? Or would you avoid it as much as possible? We don't want to experience grief. We don't want to experience loss. Most people are just looking for happiness. They're looking for a place, a time, a person that will just make them feel happy. Even as believers, we tend to focus on the positives. And as I said earlier, that is not biblical to ignore what's going on in our lives, to ignore the grief, the pain, and the suffering. Jesus said, when we mourn, we will be comforted. So if we read that verse differently, what happens if we don't mourn? What's going to happen? We're not going to be comforted. If we ignore our pain and just try to stifle it down, then we're not going to receive God's comfort. Is it biblical to mourn? Is it okay to tell God that things hurt, that things are going badly? Jesus wept and mourned the loss of his friend Lazarus. We see Jesus, the Son of God, pouring out his emotions. He wept and he mourned. Did he know what was going to happen next? He did. It doesn't mean that he wasn't trusting God, but he experienced those emotions and he displayed them. Later in Matthew 23, Jesus mourned and lamented over Jerusalem because of their spiritual blindness. He saw them as a sheep without a shepherd. And he knew that they were not looking for the Messiah in the right places. He mourned that as he saw their grief and their suffering. And then at the end of Matthew in verse 26, Jesus prayed to God and said, my soul is sorrowful even unto death. Jesus knew that his crucifixion was coming. He knew the sacrifice, the pain that was coming. And he poured his heart out to God. God comforted him. Believers can find comfort when we mourn, when we pray to God and tell him about our burdens, about our struggles. And as this second verse says, we can rejoice and be glad because we have a reward waiting for us in heaven. We're going to find spiritual rewards in the life to come. And we will find peace and we'll find comfort right now when we go to God and we recognize he is in control. He is all powerful and he loves me and he cares for me. That brings us comfort. Over to the Gospel of John in chapter 14. This is a favorite chapter for many people. Jesus was speaking to his disciples and he's telling them about things that are going to happen. He starts out by saying, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. As you've believed in God, believe also in me." And then here in verse 27, he said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." In the verses just before that, Jesus told his disciples that the Father would send the Holy Spirit as a comforter, that he would be there to teach them, to remind them of all that Jesus had spoken, to bring God's word back to their hearing in their hearts and to their remembrance that God is with them. God's indwelling spirit today brings believers peace that's true and lasting. Jesus told them to not be afraid, to not worry. Later in Philippians, the Apostle Paul says that the peace of God goes way beyond our understanding. And it's his peace that guards our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. We're comforted by God's peace. All of the turmoil, all of the struggles in our heart, when we pour them out to God and we recognize who he is and what he's doing, his Spirit brings us peace and comfort. And that passage also tells us that not only should we bring our concerns to God, but we should bring him our thanks. And as we thank him and recognize what he's doing and what he has done, that's just reminding us and strengthening our faith again. Look at all these things that God has done, how he's cared for me. He's going to continue to care for me. He's going to continue to be faithful and continue to love me. And then our last passage over in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Verses 3 and 4. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." This final passage to the church in Corinth was from the Apostle Paul, who wanted to encourage the believers. He reminds them that as they suffer and as they face trials, they're experiencing life just the way Jesus did. You're not doing something wrong. You will be persecuted. You will face trials. You will face difficulties. But you share in that suffering just as Jesus did. Instead of thinking, "I'm going through something that no one else has, maybe God's forgotten me," we can think, "This is exactly what Jesus experienced." There's also an important teaching moment. God will abundantly comfort us in the Lord Jesus Christ. When we face those difficulties, he will comfort us because he's the God of all comfort. And then we see that as God comforts us, he enables us to comfort others who are in pain. God's way of preparing you and I to serve others, to minister to the body of Christ, other believers, and even to hurting neighbors, co-workers, family members who don't know the Lord. When we experience difficulties, when we experience trials, when we suffer in our own lives, and we see how God comforts us, then we can encourage others that when they come to God, they will also experience that comfort and that peace. And in doing that, we move from just sympathy, which is a great thing to show people, to empathy, which means I've gone through this. I know what that felt like. I know how hard that was. And we can encourage someone in so much greater way when we've experienced what they've experienced. You know that everything that you've experienced is not exactly the way someone else has experienced it, right? We can never say, I know exactly how you're feeling, because we really don't know what's going on in their heart. But we can say, I know what it feels like to lose a parent. I know what it feels like to have a job pulled out from under me. I know what it feels like to not know where the next meal is coming from. As we've experienced those things, we can rejoice and say, God, thank you for preparing me to serve and show love and compassion to others. Thank you for giving me this opportunity to comfort someone else, because I've experienced your comfort. I've seen how you've carried me through this, and I'm ready now to share that with someone else, to show them love and compassion, to show them your grace and your mercy. When we see God's faithfulness and we see his love firsthand, we're so much better able to share that, to share God's goodness with others. I would encourage you to read through the rest of, not the rest, but read through these passages again in this upcoming week. Just take some time thinking about them, praying through them, asking God to provide you comfort, and then looking around you for others that you can comfort. Maybe you think, I don't know what to say to this person. I don't know how to take away their pain. That's not your job. God is the God of all comfort. But we can go and we can pray with someone. We can mourn when they're mourning. We can rejoice when they're rejoicing. We can weep when they're weeping. Be there and be with someone and be used as an instrument of God to provide comfort. Just before Jesus told his disciples in John 14, that passage we were reading, that he would give them peace, that he was going to go and prepare a place for them. That's heaven. And he said, I'm going to return for you, that you would come to me and that you would experience eternal life with God the Father, with Jesus Christ the Son, with the Holy Spirit. And one of the disciples named Thomas said, Lord, how do we know the way? And Jesus answered him, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus Christ, God's only Son, demonstrated God's love by offering his own life as a sacrifice, the only acceptable sacrifice for our sins. And then he rose again. He rose from the dead and proved that he really was the Son of God. If you've never confessed your sin to Jesus Christ, if you've never recognized that you need a Savior, if you've never said, Jesus, you are the only way that I can know God, then I would encourage you to hear his call this morning. The Holy Spirit, if he's speaking to your heart and saying, this is something you need to do, don't let today go by. Come talk to me after the service or set up time in the upcoming weekend. Come talk to me, because that is the most important step you can take in your life, to begin a relationship with God, to have a restored relationship with the God who loves you, the God of all comfort, the God of peace. So as we think about where we're going after this, just a couple of thoughts. You might want to jot these down and answer them later. Where do you turn for comfort when you're afraid and worried? We talk about idols sometimes here at this church because God's word talks about idols. The very first command was, I am the Lord your God, you shall have no other gods before me. What is more important to you than God? Where do you go thinking, this is where I'm going to find comfort, this is where I'm going to feel better? Is it something or someone other than God? Are you just trying to take your mind off your problems? Or are you pouring them out to God and saying, these things are too hard for me. I need your help. I need you. That's what God wants to hear. He tells us to bring our burdens, our requests to Him in prayer. And as I said before, He also tells us to bring Him praise and thanksgiving, because that rehearses and reminds us of our need for Him. Do you view your trials as something that will help you learn and grow? As something that can help you care for others? Our human nature says, I don't want problems. I don't want to face difficulties. I don't want to mourn a loss. I just want things to go smoothly. But when they don't, which they will, do you say, God, why are you punishing me? Or do you say, God, how can I learn and grow from this? How can I share this experience with someone else? How can I encourage them? And then finally, God's peace is promised when we pray, when we bring Him our burdens, and we praise and thank Him. If you don't take away anything else from this morning, if you're looking for comfort from God, it all comes down to bringing your burdens, bringing your problems to Him, because that is when He will comfort you. It's through His Word and through time in prayer. I'm going to close in a word of prayer, and then we are going to shift gears and do something very special, and I hope you can stick with us for just a few more minutes. Let's pray first. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for bringing us together on this beautiful, almost fall morning. Thank you for the sunshine that reminds us of the warmth and love that you give us. Thank you for the sunshine that reminds us that night ends with the breaking of the dawn, your faithfulness, your goodness, and your love for us. I thank you, Lord, that we could hear your word this morning, and I pray that those who heard it would be encouraged and comforted, and for those who don't know you, that it would draw them to a relationship with you. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God our Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through grace, may He comfort your hearts and establish them in every good work and word through His Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.